Alison is a life coach who helps people reduce the stress in their lives by managing their time and their priorities more effectively. She also works with people who have disabilities or long-term medical conditions, helping them to achieve more than they thought possible. Thank you, Alison, for coming in to talk to us today. Nice to have you here.
You're very welcome. It's nice to be here.
Oh, great. What do you find to be the greatest cause of stress then, Alison?
Well, obviously there are medical and psychological causes of stress, but in the absence of those, what I find is the biggest cause of stress in my clients is an inability to say no, and I think that's something that we all suffer from.
Mm.
Partly because there are so many choices today in life and we just feel that we have to have it all, and also because we like to be thought of as nice people and we don't like to turn things down when someone asks us to do something.
Mm, that's true. So how do you help people to say no then?
Well, there are lots of different ways of saying no, depending on the situation, but I've got three kind of basic general rules that will help in most situations. The first one, I often say to people, have a policy for saying no. By this I mean that, say, for example, somebody wanted to borrow money and you say, well, I'm sorry, I have a policy, I never lend money to friends or whatever.
Right.
And that way you immediately make it less personal, so you're not getting at a particular person if you have a policy about a particular thing. Do you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yep, sure.
But also one of my favourites is buy yourself some time, because we all fall into this trap, don't we? When somebody says to you, what are you doing next Tuesday? And you say, oh, nothing, I'm fine, I'm free. Yeah. And then they tell you why they want to know, and you end up committing to something that you would really rather not have done. But it's too late because you've already told them that you're free, that you're available, and it's too late to back out.
Yeah,
so what I say to people is, whenever anybody says this to you, you know, are you free such and such a day, you tell them, well, I'm not sure, why? Or I need to check my diary. Why? Or I think I may have plans. Why? And promise to get back to them. That way you buy yourself some time to think about whether you really want to do whatever it is they're asking.
Mm. Definitely, good sound advice there. Definitely on that one. I've done that before, unfortunately.
Yeah,
yes.
We all fall into that one, don't we?
Yeah.
It's so tempting. Mm. And the other thing is that, you know, whenever you're saying no to somebody, try and sandwich the no between, it's a bit like this feedback thing that people use in work, you know, you a positive and the negative in the middle and you end on a positive kind of thing. You say to somebody, well, I would love to help you. I really would like to help. However, I'm not able to. But then suggest an alternative. You say, well, I could do this for you instead, or I could do this particular time instead. So again, you're kind of taking the sting out of saying the no. But I would also say that we also tend to fall into the trap with any of these answers of a kind of feeling that we have to apologize and explain to people why, what else we're doing, or why we can't say no. You don't really owe people an explanation of all the ins and outs of why you can't. You know, if you say that you've got something else on, that something else might just be some time to yourself in front of the television. They don't need to know that.
Mm.
You know, you just say, I'm sorry, I have other plans, I can't.
Yeah.
But, you know, soften the blow by offering to be helpful in another way.
Mm. That's definitely sound advice. I know I can take lots out of that, Alison, because I've fallen in the trap of all those three, really. Well, you know, apart from saying no, is there anything else that you specifically recommend?
Well, the other big thing, and this is kind of counterintuitive, is that I tell people it's very, very important to make time for themselves, specifically some me time. Because what people tend to do is they fit in time for themselves around other commitments. You know, if I've got time, I'll take time out to go for a swim or go to the cinema or whatever it is that you like to take time out doing. We always tend to fit it in when we've got nothing else on.
Mm.
What I always say to people is you put your me time in the diary first.
Yeah.
You have something that is specifically for you, certainly every week, preferably every day.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't let anything get in the way of that. And people will often protest to me and say, yes, but, you know, so if something comes up, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. And if I take time out for myself, I don't have time to do all the other things. The fact is that, A, if you take time out for yourself, you will be more refreshed and therefore more efficient anyway, so you'll actually get more things done.
Mm-hmm.
And also you will find, quite surprisingly, that other things will tend to fall in place around it. People will start, if you firm enough and stick to your particular me time, people will start to respect it and work around it. And that's quite magical when that happens. For example, I mean, I go line dancing on a Wednesday morning, hell or high water. And everybody knows this now. And nobody will disturb my sacred Wednesday mornings. And I feel so much better for it.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, again, that rings very true for me and lots of other people. Yeah, definitely very good sound advice there. But what about, because I tend to sort of try and prioritise or do have to-do lists. Would that be helpful?
it depends how you handle it. Well, I'll just briefly talk about to-do lists first, because they've become very popular. They've been the in thing now in work environments for many years. But I often say to people, I've done a seminar with a room full of people, and I said, well, how many of you have got to-do lists? And they all get excited. Yes, I have. They all put their hands up saying, aren't I good? I've got a to-do list. And then I stop them in their tracks there, and I say, yes, but how many of you have got things on that to-do list that have been there for months?
Mm.
And we do have this terrible tendency to list things but still not get them done.
Mm.
And there are ways of being ruthless with your to-do list. You've got to be... It's all about what you particularly put on there in the first place. Something should never go on there. Something should be done by other people.
Yeah.
And so you've got to be quite selective. But also in terms of prioritising, again, people say they prioritise, which means that certain things get done. How do you decide a priority? Mm. Too many of us decide a priority because something is urgent.
Yeah.
Rather than it's important, you know, we do it because it's urgent, it has to be done, or we do it because somebody else thinks we should.
Oh, God, yeah, that's one.
And we really do need to analyse what should be our priorities and what should be on our to-do list. Mm. And the best way I find of doing that, it takes a little while with some of my coaching clients, because I go with them and truly find out what their true personal core values are.
Yeah.
The things that are really important to them, not the things that they think should be important, not the things that their friends or society say are important, sometimes not even what their boss seems to think is important.
Yeah.
You've really got to get to the core of what is important to a particular person, and that's not something that you just decide overnight. There's a process for digging and getting to that, and then it's far easier to set meaningful priorities.
Yeah. Oh, that's so important. Again, I fall in, prey to that. I've got a list as long as my arm, and still haven't done. And I think you've given us some excellent, really sound advice today. Much appreciated for that, Alison. I understand you have an ebook available from Amazon Kindle. Can you tell me briefly a little bit about that?
I do, in fact. Yes, it's called More Time, Less Stress. And it's subtitled How to Get 25 Hours Out of Every Day, because that's something we all try to do.
Oh, God, yes.
I'm not sure about the subtitle. In some ways, it sounds as though I'm trying to encourage people to do more. But anyway, it is about finding more time, getting more things done more efficiently without the stress. And there are lots of hints and tips in there. Some of them are sort of basic common sense things, because there's a section about managing things around the home, and some people, you might look at those, oh, these are obvious, you know.
Yeah.
But some of them are obvious, but we still don't do them.
True.
But there's also a section about managing time generally, and another one about specifically about managing things in work.
Yeah.
And some of the advice I give there is very much coaching-based, and it's things that you may not have thought of. So it's a mixture of common sense approach and coaching, really.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
With some simple tips and some things that make you think a bit more deeply.
Oh, sounds brilliant. So where can we find you then, Alison? You know, if I or anyone else wanted to book some sessions with you, where could we find you or some more information about what you do?
I do have a website.
Yep.
It's called A to Y Life Coaching. That is A-Y.
Yep.
Life Coaching, all one word.
Mm-hmm.
.co.uk, and you'll find all my contact details on there and all the information about what I do with clients and my charges and so on.
Right, that's great. That's been absolutely enlightening talking to you, Alison. Thank you so very much, and I'm sure that book will be very useful, and again, thank you very much for being here with us today.
You're very welcome, George. Thank you.